And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and as always, I am joined by your undisputed champion, who will have a new nickname as always. I'm waiting for this one, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Hi, yeah, it's me. It's Ben Taylor, a.k.a. Quarantine Beard. I'm reusing the one from Awesome Mania Online because I can do that.
So
that one was a special. It's not necessarily in continuity. So I'm bringing Quarantine Beard to the main MCU. Well, what? No, wait, that's Nerdy Notion. Sorry.
Actually, technically speaking, you called it Isolation Beard.
I did call it Isolation Beard. I think Quarantine Beard sounds better. So. Yeah.
So we have a special episode, actually.
Yeah.
We're going to do... So normally we would have like a pay-per-view type predictions and stuff like that for like near the end of the show. We're going to be doing it after we do news and notes, because after we talk about Money in the Bank,
all six matches of it
that we know of.
Yep.
Our good friend Matt Carroll is going to be joining us, and we're going to be compiling per se an Awesome Mania top 25 of tag teams.
Favorite tag teams. Now, I'd like to point out that we were very specific that it was favorite tag teams. And Mike showed up this morning and he's like, man, I just finished my list last night and I put in a bunch of things on here that I watched in documentaries and were like, yeah, those, they were probably really good. So they're in the top 25. And I'm like, that's not what we're doing, Mike. We're doing favorite tag teams, not best tag teams.
I love
feel called out if you want, man. But
I love you too.
Okay,
but
yeah, as, because we're doing the top 25, that'll be a long segment, so there'll be no good things in wrestling this week, even though there are some good things going on in wrestling right now. But there won't be a fourth segment. We'll just do a double length third segment, basically.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird episode, because one of the reasons we wanted to do the thing with Matt is it's not much else to talk about.
As you're going to find out when we go into news and notes.
Yeah.
It's kind of slim pickings a little bit there.
Yeah.
So with that, let's go right into news and notes. And we're going to start off with Vince McMahon's reported reaction to the Roman Reigns situation and notes on WWE editing Reigns out of footage.
So you might have heard me making comments in various things about them not referring to Roman on air and things like that, and this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. So apparently it's interesting because sometimes Reigns has been mentioned on television depending on what is being shown. He's actually still in the opening graphic for SmackDown. But
that would take a lot of money to redo, though.
But interestingly, though, you mentioned a lot of money to do that. Recently, for a countdown of top Money in the Bank cash-in moments during Raw this past Monday, they edited out Roman Reigns from the WrestleMania 31 replay of Seth Rollins cashing in. Roman Reigns is the one that was pinned.
Yeah, they did what they did with... if you remember when Becky beat Ronda Rousey, right? That WrestleMania, was that 34? Was it 35?
35.
April was like 17 years long, man. If you remember, when they did the replays the following night, to make up for the fact that Ronda botched the finish, they didn't actually show the three counts of any of the title matches when they showed the replays. They faded to black and you just heard 1, 2, 3. That's what they did here. And I don't, and it wouldn't have cost them a lot of money to edit him out. It would have been quite easy, but okay.
But
are you using the money segue?
No, not yet. Because in another,
because I said it would have cost them a lot of money, and you mentioned Money in the Bank. Was that your segue?
Not yet.
Because you did say, speaking of.
No, because it's the, because we were talking about the intro for SmackDown. And then I used it to go into that top because it is Money in the Bank weekend.
Update,
though, the Observer reports that the reaction by WWE Chairman Vince McMahon regarding Reigns and how to handle the situation changes daily based on which way the wind is blowing, according to a source close to the situation. This is why one day Reigns is shown pinning Triple H during a WrestleMania replay on SmackDown, and then he's edited off a WrestleMania replay on Raw, and then also left out of a Make-A-Wish video package, but then FS1 aired a one-hour best-of special on him, which they did last Tuesday night.
Well, here's the thing, right? I can't blame Vince for this, right? I can blame how he's handling it, but I can't blame him for having changing opinions, right? Because imagine if you're Vince McMahon, right? And you spent all this time and effort into pushing Roman, right?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you don't have this asset that you've spent all this time and money into. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can understand him being frustrated he's not there, but at the same time, Vince has got to be like, yeah, dude, do what's right by you for your health, right?
And he just had newborn twins 8
exactly,
weeks ago.
Right? He's a father of three now.
Yep.
With a beautiful wife, and so he's got to think about himself and his family, and I know Vince can't begrudge the dude that, right? Like, so
yeah. So that's that. Next up on the list of notes, we'll just talk about it briefly. ACH has come out with an in-depth interview on being so angry over his WWE release and t-shirt, breaking down in front of everyone, you know, on social media.
Yeah.
Pretty much the gist that we kind of got from it is that he regrets the way he went about it, but he wouldn't change everything that he said.
Right. Well, here's the thing, is it very much reads like one of those statements that is like, because I got fired, I regret what I said.
Yeah.
Right. It's very much one of those, I'm sorry that I did what I did, but I'm only sorry that I did what I did because there were consequences to what I did. That's how it reads. Much like there were, like, if you get caught doing something, it's the old Jesse Ventura thing about heels, isn't it? It's like, win if you can, cheat if you must. Win if you can, always cheat but never get caught, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact quote off the top of my head because I had an hour of sleep last night. Don't ask me why. Couldn't tell you. Just laid there staring at the ceiling for 4 hours. Anyway, the point being more that ACH basically says, what was the exact quote? I'm sorry, let me find it.
Yeah.
I was having the time of my life there, dude. I really was. Enjoyed my time there. I really did. But then when they released that shirt, I got angry and made a lot of comments that I'm not going to take back because that's just how I feel. Now, could I have said them a lot better? Absolutely. I said a lot of things out of anger. If I could have said those things a little bit more intelligent and calmly and came from a real place and not an angry place, I think it would have been okay. The fact I was just so angry and mad and disrespected and just felt like a joke. I don't hold too many grudges, but that really pissed me off and it made me mad, man. AKA, I'm sad I got fired. That's how that reads to me.
Yep.
He says that the post-release attacks from people broke him. That he wishes he would have had turned his phone off and let everything pass. He had a meltdown in front of the entire world and wishes things ended differently. Yeah, basically, I wish you were still in WWE because you're really good. But you made your Now, yes, I can understand you being really sad you broke down in front of the entire world. I would be too, but you made your grade laying it.
Yep. Yep. And then actually, I'm going to save Taker stuff for a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll do the two Taker things together.
So we'll hop into some event-related stuff real quick. Yeah. First one being WWE reportedly keeping an eye on the NFL after tickets were put on sale within the last couple days.
This is smart.
Yeah, obviously the NFL just recently announced their 2020 schedule for all the teams. Whether that happens, that remains to be seen. But they did put out tickets, and they modified the ticket refund policy in regards to how things could work when the NFL season starts up in September. Now, WWE doing the very smart thing, which I'm pretty sure that all the other sports leagues are as well, is they're paying attention to how the NFL is handling tickets and what they're doing in regards to seating for the event, the games themselves.
I mean, the reason that this is very, very smart is because regardless of whether the COVID thing is over by then, everything we're going through now is going to change the way we're doing things.
Yep.
Forever. Mainly because businesses are starting to figure out that they can have people work from home. Like big businesses are starting to figure out that like call centers can work from home. It means we don't need to rent a building no more. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
or other such changes. And I think one of the changes is that it's going to affect the way that sports and large gatherings are done.
Yeah. And I've read stuff about how for like sporting events and stuff like that, for like hockey or football or whatever, you have it where you space out the seating amongst everyone so you can keep that social distancing. So instead of having a full arena filled, you have more like half an arena filled with things. But also at the same time, we could see, like for us, when we went to AEW or, you know, NXT, we would get like 4 to 5 tickets, depending on how many people come in our group. Stuff like that's going to change as well. So it's like, you're not going to really be able to sit in a group like you would.
Well, I think you will be able to eventually.
Yeah, eventually, yes, but right away, definitely not.
Probably not, no.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Obviously, this is something that's going to be continuously looked over throughout the next few months. So, but again, it's a smart move. 100% smart move to see how the NFL does it and how effective it also is at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So next up we have
the Boston and Illinois thing, right?
Yes. So, per government officials for both respective cities of Boston and Chicago, SummerSlam and All Out will not be happening in those respective cities for this year, at least. We kind of expected something like that to happen with just everything going on.
Yeah.
Next up was something that you wanted to bring up real quick, Ben, which was the new A&E show.
Yeah. So it came out this last week that the WWE are putting together a show. The quote is, "The network is expanding its partnership with WWE Studios for a wrestling documentary series. The Quest for Lost WWE Treasures," working title, "will follow the hunt for iconic and lost WWE memorabilia. WWE Stephanie McMahon and Paul Triple H Levesque will lead a team of collectors and wrestling stars across the country to track down the collectibles. The series is produced by WWE Studios, Susan Levinston and Brian Zerrington, executive producer, alongside Ellen Fontaine, Brian Dolores, Gavin, and Jonathan Pardew trainee. This comes on top of his previously announced biography specials for WWE legends, including Randy Savage, Roddy Piper, Booker T, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Shawn Michaels.
If only there were two people
that had an entire YouTube channel dedicated to wrestling memorabilia called, I don't know, Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, aka Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, that you just let go. This is perfect for them.
Well, and see, here's the interesting...
I would not be surprised if this was an idea that the Major Brothers pitched, and now WWE just making it out of spite.
Now, see, here's one interesting thing, though. I have read a few things online about concepts for this show. Mm-hmm. Where they could be bringing in like teams, like Triple H would field one team and Stephanie could field another, and then the two teams would like kind of like a contest in a way. And yeah, it's like that's a way that you can bring those two guys in.
Well, why not just keep them?
I know it would have made so much more sense to just keep them in to go here, yes, have fun, guys, just do it. But we don't know how the show is going to work yet officially, but it'll be interesting to see what they do, and then we can just go, yeah, you could have just had Ryder and Hawkins do that.
Yeah, because I guarantee that's like, you watch episode one, you'll be like, this would have been way better if Hawkins and Ryder were involved.
Yeah. It'll probably be an interesting show regardless, but the quality would be better with those two guys.
There's also, and before we get on to the Undertaker thing, right, there is one more thing that I want to talk about, which is AJ Styles came back to Raw this week. And there has been some, how do I put this? There's been some consternation among the internet wrestling community, as there always is. About how basically they just ignored the fact that dude got buried alive and he's just back.
And AJ's actually talked about it on his stream.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
And he's basically come out and been like, look, if you're frustrated that they brought me back and like nothing has changed, I'm with you. Right? So.
And apparently this was the whole thing with Apollo getting pulled out due to injury and AJ taking the spot. Mm-hmm. This Money in the Bank match, like the two Money in the Bank matches, were filmed weeks ago. So apparently it was always the plan to have AJ in this match because they need, you know, quote unquote star power.
What I really want to happen, right, is like they get to the Money in the Bank match and they're on the top of the roof of like Titan Towers or whatever. And like someone throws AJ Styles off the roof. And like the next day he just shows up on Raw unscathed, and he's like, I'm no longer the phenomenal one, I'm the immortal AJ Styles. I cannot be killed.
It would definitely be a different version of the character. That was,
you know, sure. What I mean, like,
yeah,
not go like full like Undertaker zombie like 2K19 or whatever, but like I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah. And then speaking of Taker, we got one last note before we go to Taker, which we got a double dose of that. Recently on the Arn Anderson podcast, he's been opening up a lot more about stuff behind the scenes in WWE. Mm-hmm. And one thing specifically he talked about was when the Ascension was brought up from NXT, them being buried right off the bat on their debut.
Yeah.
And And the reason this is more noteworthy is not just because it's the Ascension, but it's kind of something we've been seeing with a lot of NXT talent when they come up to a Raw or SmackDown. And this is kind of like that beginning of NXT talent coming up that do so great in NXT and then just get buried. And this is how you got to feel.
This is a bit of a personal bugbear for you, isn't it?
It kind of.
You were a massive Ascension mark.
Yeah, and still am, but...
Well, you can't be an Ascension mark anymore. They don't exist. Yeah. They're called something else on the indies.
Yeah, but like they... But you got to look at it from the overall picture. It's like, man, you're getting this opportunity.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, commentary is being told, bury these guys. Like...
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, does it?
It doesn't make any sense. And it's like... Like and you got to think.
I was thinking about this the other day, right? And I know Vince is probably somewhat scared of the change of style, right? But if with the amount of NXT call-ups there have been at this point, if he had let them just continuously wrestle the NXT style, the main roster would be NXT at this point.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not imagining that.
Yeah, no, you're not. And here's the interesting thing. Like, Connor recently just did an interview, and he doesn't do a lot of them.
Yeah.
And he openly admitted that, you know, yeah, coming up and being buried right away didn't make him feel good. But he also talked about, you know, when you talk to Triple H, Triple H will give you, you know, he'll tell you, go do your thing, build this thing up the way, like when they came back to NXT to be part of that first Dusty Rhodes Classic.
Yeah.
The fans were behind them, like, yeah, you know, and all that stuff. And then, but then they say when trying to work with Vince and trying to, you know, get them back to where they were with NXT, it was just a chore. So yeah, it's rough, and personally for me, and I know you probably feel the same way, but you get this opportunity and you're just going to get buried right off the bat. You want to feel so good about yourself either.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the reason that it's not just the fact that it's the Ascension. It's just everybody who gets put into that situation. It sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Two more things before we're going.
Okay.
Two more things before we're going to the other taker, both involving one Zack Ryder. Since we brought him up, these was floating around in my head. A fun factoid came out about WrestleMania 32, which, if we remember rightly, is the WrestleMania where Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental title.
I believe so.
Right?
Yeah.
And Zack Ryder basically had an interview and he revealed that the only reason he got in that match is because Neville got hurt.
Yeah.
And he went to Road Dogg and basically went like, look, dude, I've never heard my music play at WrestleMania. And Road Dogg basically went to Vince and was like, hey, we should put Zach in the match. And then that's how that went from there. The other thing about Zack Ryder is he came out and I think it might have even been in the same interview, but later on, he came out and he said he blamed himself for not being pushed in WWE, which is, I wasn't aware or mature enough to knock on the boss's door and say, hey, look, I'm one of the top merch stars. I've been busting my ass. Why is this happening? And I don't buy that.
You know, I've been hearing a lot of recently released talents saying that
because they're trying to stay in Vince's good graces.
And it's not only that, but like I've seen Mandy Rose in an interview recently talk about how, you know, the split between Sonya and Mandy, that was something that they went to Vince and pitched.
Yes.
And so it's like we're finding more and more, especially right now, because there's a lot of people with downtime to do interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
That you're learning that, like, yeah, that relationship with Vince is kind of important. And if you don't take the opportunities, even if it means you have to stand out his door for 2-3 hours just to try to get him for 10 minutes, you know, he's paying attention to that and seeing who is taking it seriously. So hearing something like that from Ryder, you know, isn't surprising, and it makes a lot of sense at the same time too.
But I don't buy it. That's the thing. Is Zach was very aware of where he was in the merch selling and that kind of thing, and he was very aware of his statement in the company. I don't buy that he wasn't mature enough. I don't buy that.
Yeah, the maturity part, probably not so much.
Probably scared, yes.
Yeah.
But not mature. Anyway.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say about Zack Ryder is the AEW need to sign him and do the Disney thing. Think about it. Sign Zack Ryder. 2, team him up with Cody Rhodes. 3, name their tag team The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Step 4, profit. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was a joke. Don't do that.
Yeah.
On to the Undertaker stuff.
Yeah. So where do you want to start?
Where
do you want to start on this? Do you want to start with Taker's interview, or do you want to start with Michelle McCool's interview?
Start with McCool's interview.
All right. So obviously with this Sunday, you have the premiere of The Undertaker, The Last Ride docuseries special, which currently on the WWE YouTube channel, there is a 13-minute first look episode for the first episode.
So I am purposely not watching that.
Yeah. So as a way of promoting this, obviously Taker and Michelle McCool are doing a lot of interviews. So Michelle McCool was talking about specifically the streak that was ended at WrestleMania 30 by Brock Lesnar. And she actually talked about and revealed that originally there was talk of Edge defeating The Undertaker at WrestleMania 24. But however, Edge himself was the one who shot it down because he said, "What does it do for me to break the streak?" Because at that point, you know, and this is, and per her explaining it, Edge actually said, "That makes zero sense. I don't want to do that. Why would I do that? The fans already love me. What's it going to do for Edge?"
Yeah. Because this is going back to the thing about when Undertaker still had a streak. The conversation was the person who breaks the streak is going to get made, right? So you should give it to someone that needs to break the streak.
Yeah.
And then they gave it to Brock Lesnar.
Which, and then going into further into that, she found out late in the afternoon on the day of the event that Lesnar was going to break the streak, to which she actually said, "I couldn't believe it. I don't think it needed to happen. No. But Mark was fine with it. People don't understand. He's going to do business. He understands that business is business."
No, I'm not saying that The Undertaker wasn't okay with it.
I just wanted to say the full quote. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah.
The problem is they gave it to just someone who didn't need to be built, right? Imagine if someone like a Cody Rhodes had broken the streak, or a Damian Sandow, or I can't even remember who was still on the roster back then. Or a Zack Ryder. Imagine if Zack Ryder had broken the streak.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like...
champion forever.
Because, like, definitely for, like, a person like Edge, and I agree with Edge, what's it going to do for Edge? He's already established. You know, what's it going to do for a guy like Batista?
Yeah.
He's already established.
Yeah.
You know, you can't... It doesn't make sense for an established guy. You know, and like you said, a guy like a Cody Rhodes, a Damian Sandow, a Zack Ryder, somebody who still needs that push, that rub, it would be perfect for them. So, but yeah, so that was the thing with, that was the most noteworthy thing out of Michelle McCool's interview, was the fact that Edge was originally supposed to break the streak until he said, "No, I'm not breaking it."
Yeah.
Which then leads us to Taker's recent interview with ESPN, which brings up a lot of really interesting stuff just about the documentary as a whole, especially the fact that Taker has essentially spent the last 30 years doing it the old school way of like, you don't show
break kayfabe.
Yeah, you don't break the kayfabe. You don't show Mark Calloway, you know, prepare to become the Undertaker. You don't show that stuff. So like, this interview is really in depth and very, you know, in a way, educational about his thought process going into this.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack in this interview. One of the things that there is to unpack is how he talks about how he was disappointed with his match against Roman.
Yeah.
And not so much disappointed with the match as his performance in it, as he didn't feel like he was giving Roman his best.
Yeah.
But you'll see more about that in the interview and during what might be one of the most interesting docuseries WWE Network could ever do.
Yeah. I'm really...
The other point to bring up on this is that this thing was the Undertaker's idea. It wasn't Vince's. It wasn't Triple H's. As much as he has problems breaking kayfabe, it was his idea.
Yeah, and he openly admitted, like, in this ESPN interview that we actually have up in front of us, you know, he openly admits, I may regret ending my career and not doing this docuseries.
There's a great quote where he's like, occasionally I'd catch them filming and I'd be like, why the hell are you filming me? And they'd be like, because you asked us to. And he'd be like, oh, shit. Yeah, right.
You're right. but that's the thing, though. Like, that's the hard thing for him, because it's like, you gotta, like, he's so not used to having a camera on him as he prepares to do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because he's so used to protecting the business.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really cool to see, you know, especially him talk about, like, you know, he's going to be talking about that on the docuseries, about like probably having these cameras on him is so weird because he's so used to protecting the business.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
All right. Is it time to talk about Money in the Bank?
All six matches?
Yeah.
Let me do something real quick. Let me hop on the Twitter. Let me go to the WWE Twitter account.
See if they've announced anything.
Yeah, it is currently Saturday, May 9th at 9:46 a.m.
Yeah. And while Mike does that, I'm going to blow my nose, so he needs to keep talking.
So as of right now, WWE has not announced anything new. The last thing that they tweeted was 11 hours ago, which was an exclusive video with The Miz and Morrison, as they get ready for one of the matches at Money in the Bank. So nothing new has been announced as of 9:46 a.m. May 9th.
Yes.
So with that, I'm going to do a quick rundown of all six matches, and then we'll talk about the matches.
Talk about them specifically. Yeah.
So first off, you have the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which will feature Asuka versus Shayna Baszler, who will have her Chronicle come out tonight.
Yeah.
Nia Jax, versus Dana Brooke versus Lacey Evans versus Carmella. Then you also have your men's Money in the Bank ladder match, which will feature Daniel Bryan versus Rey Mysterio versus Aleister Black versus King Corbin versus Otis versus AJ Styles. You'll have the Universal title up for grabs between Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt. Although, interestingly, they're not billing it as the Fiend Bray Wyatt.
Hmm.
At least from what I'm looking at on the Wikipedia.
That's true.
Then you have the SmackDown women's title of Bayley defending against Tamina. The WWE Championship is on the line as Drew McIntyre defends against Seth Rollins. And then you have the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match for the SmackDown Tag Team titles, where the New Day defend against Miz and Morrison, the Forgotten Sons, and Lucha House Party. So those are the six that we know about now. We also know, going into this, that both Money in the Bank matches will be happening at the same time and was filmed a few weeks ago at corporate headquarters.
Yep.
And apparently, it's still undecided how it's going to be shown on the pay-per-view tomorrow night. It could be shown as one big cinematic feature.
I hope so.
or it could be shown as a cinematic feature blended with other matches.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that.
So we don't know how it's going to happen. I like the idea of having the entire match cinematically shown as one whole piece. It makes more sense to do that. But we'll see. We'll see. And apparently, evidently, the other four matches are potentially going to be happening live.
Yeah.
Not filmed.
Not pre-recorded.
Yeah.
So, things to note about this card so far.
Very heavy SmackDown.
Very heavy SmackDown. No US title, no AC title, no Raw tag titles, no women's tag titles, no 24/7, no Cruiserweight.
No Raw women's.
No Raw women's.
Yeah.
That's like interesting, right? So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's...
I don't have a whole lot of interest in this pay-per-view, to be honest. I don't care about Braun Strowman or Bray Wyatt, mainly because I think Braun is an awful champion and I don't want the title on Bray. I don't care about Bayley versus Tamina, because as much as I want to be on the Tamina train, it's pulled out of the station way too often. I don't care about Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, mainly because that should be Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens won the match at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins didn't. And I don't really care about the tag match, because why would I?
Yeah.
Now, it's worth noting that the Lucha House Party were a last-minute replacement because one of the Usos got a knee injury. So they got
pulled. I believe it was Jey Uso.
I couldn't remember which one off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it was Jey.
Are we doing predictions?
We can if we want. I mean, right. I mean, we have six actual matches that we could talk about and predict.
All right, you lead us.
All right, so
New Day. Let's go work from the bottom up.
All right, so New Day defending against Miz and Morrison, Forgotten Sons, and Lucha House Party.
Yep.
For the SmackDown,
I pick the Forgotten Sons.
You know, I actually am going to go with the Forgotten Sons too, because they're actually a team that was put into the mix as well because of the Uso injury. Because
it's something different,
and it's something different.
And as we will no doubt discuss in segment number three, I'm real tired of the New Day. I'm real tired of the Usos.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm actually going with Forgotten Sons too. I think it would send a good impact.
Send a good message.
Yeah, it would send a good message.
They've just been pulled up. Don't do the ascension.
Yeah, don't bury them right off the bat.
Have them show up and do something.
Yeah. So yeah, I actually am right on board with you on the Forgotten Sons. That would be...
Which three of the Forgotten Sons do you think? Which two of the?
Oh, it's gonna be Cutler and Blake.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, because Riker is more of the strong man that stands outside that does the interference, and I think they have bigger plans for Riker to be
I want to see Jackson Riker and Big E just muscle at each other for a while.
Yeah, but Riker, from everything, even with the NXT stuff. I've always gotten the vibe that Riker's more of the singles competitor.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, and Cutler and Blake are more of the tag team.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, also props to Wesley Blake, because after him and Buddy Murphy broke up, he was on the downward spiral. Like, he was barely getting used.
Well, they just had to find the right thing
for him. But that's the thing. They found the right thing for him. And he's now on SmackDown.
Because we saw the Forgotten Sons against the Street Profits when we went to the live event, right?
Yeah, it was.
And they were good even then.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because actually the interesting thing about the Forgotten Sons at that time was on the the live event circuit, not on TV. They actually had Lacey Evans paired with them.
Yeah.
And that's actually something that could be re-explored, because technically speaking, all three of those men and Lacey Evans all came from the military. They all have military backgrounds.
True, but at the moment, Lacey's a face.
Yeah, but when they can make that turn for her again, they could easily put her back with the Forgotten Sons like they did the NXT Live circuit.
Have them like act like her thugs or something.
And actually, the thing is that would actually probably make Lacey a lot more believable.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Seth Rollins challenging Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. I got Drew retaining over Seth.
Yeah.
They need to have Drew retain.
Yeah.
He
just looks right with that belt, man.
He does. I'm definitely Drew. SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley versus Tamina.
Bayley.
Yeah, it's
Bayley's retaining to go on to fight Sasha.
Like you got to have Bayley.
Unless you do the thing where like Sasha costs Bayley the title here by mistake, then Bayley gets it back on like a future episode of SmackDown or something. But
yeah, or like they cost Bayley the title, so Tamina can have her one title win.
Yeah,
in WWE. And then have her drop it to Bayley at the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then obviously do that build between Sasha and
the thing is Bayley, as of, was it like 2 or 3 days ago, Bayley was at like 350 days. She's like 15 days from a year as being SmackDown Women's Champion. So would they take it off her?
Wait, Bayley has Bayley's, had it that long?
She's had 350 out of the last 365, yeah.
Wow, it doesn't even feel like that.
Yeah, no, it really? Doesn't, does it? Because
it really
it's never on telly. Yeah. Anyway,
But I can understand why they would try to put the belt on Tamina, but it wouldn't make sense with all the story that they're doing with Bayley and Sasha at the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, and not only that, but it's like the great Chris Jericho Shawn Michaels feud.
Yeah,
where they put the title into the feud. It's going to be kind of the same deal with Sasha Bayley. You're going to want to have the title in the feud. Strowman versus Wyatt for the Universal title.
My prediction is whoever wins, we lose.
Yeah. My prediction is that if everything I've been reading is true, it's going to go on Wyatt, because they're going to want him to be the one holding the title for when Roman comes back.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I completely disagree with that. Honestly, having Roman take the belt off of Strowman
would get him better reactions, in my opinion.
Yeah, it would be a better reaction because...
Unless they're bringing Roman back as a heel.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to do that, right?
I don't think so either. But because let's be honest, when Roman does come back, it's going to be in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
And when he does come back, he is going to get the craziest pop.
Yeah,
you know, that you can get in the post-pandemic era.
Yeah.
So I would like to see Strowman retain, because I think he'd be better off dropping it to somebody else like Roman. Whereas with like what we've talked about with Bray, you put the title on him, he can't be believable on who you.
But I'd rather Braun retain and then maybe get it weaseled away from him by like a dastardly heel.
Yeah.
At like SummerSlam or whatever, and then that person holds it till Roman comes back.
And that would be, I'd be perfectly fine with that.
And that way you're going to get a good reaction when Roman shows up and spears the dude out of his boots.
Yeah. So before we talk about Money in the Bank, it should be noted that Daniel Bryan's in the men's match. Original plans was that even though Daniel Bryan makes it into the Money in the Bank match, it was supposed to also continue the feud with Sami Zayn for the IC title. However, Sami Zayn decided to sit out this last round of tapings, which is why we haven't seen anything with the IC title. So there is a bit of an explanation of why we're not seeing an Intercontinental title match, because Sami Zayn decided not to do it at this time. He'd, you know, go into a quarantine for a bit. However, with the men's match of Daniel Bryan versus Rey Mysterio versus Aleister Black versus King Corbin versus Otis versus AJ Styles. I do not see Daniel Bryan winning.
There's
because I see that feud resuming as soon as Money in the Bank's over.
There's two, three possible winners.
Okay.
Let's be honest. There's one possible winner. Maybe two. Maybe three. It, depending on how they portray the people.
And let me make a guess on who your three are. Aleister Black.
Yep.
Otis.
Nope.
Okay. AJ Styles.
Yes.
Okay. Daniel Bryan.
No.
Okay. Okay. So I got two out of your three and four guesses. Yep. You know?
The three potential winners are Aleister Black, King Corbin, and AJ Styles.
Okay.
AJ Styles, because he made The Undertaker look great. And they would probably want to put him into a program with Drew.
Yep.
To make Drew look great. King Corbin, because he's the only heel in the match.
Good point.
Depending on how you look at AJ Styles. I always look at AJ Styles as a tweener, because even if he's playing the heel, everyone cheers him anyway, because he's really good at the wrestling. He's really good at doing the wrestling.
Yep.
And Aleister Black, because they've been pushing him really, really hard.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, yes, they've been pushing him really, really hard. But he is scheduled probably to go back into the program with Sami Zayn. Otis probably still isn't done with Dolph Ziggler. Sonya's storyline with him and Mandy. And Rey Mysterio is 84.
Yeah, my personal pick, actually, and here's the thing. We were just talking about, obviously, Strowman and Wyatt.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a dastardly heel.
Like King Corbin.
What a better dastardly heel.
Though, I never want to see King Corbin and Roman Reigns wrestle again.
Yeah, but, well, I agree with that, but it also would make sense because you already have the rivalry there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that would be a great one. Have Corbin win the Money in the Bank match.
And cash in on Strowman later in the night.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have him cash in later in the night because you're probably going to have the Money in the Bank stuff finish off the card.
But imagine if you put on Braun and Bray last and Braun Bailey survives Bray and then Corbin cashes in.
That's true. Yeah. So, but yeah, if of course everyone would be like, wait a minute, how the hell did he get from corporate to here? Because you got to suspend the disbelief on that.
That's
one.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you got to kind of suspend disbelief on how did he get from Connecticut all the way to Orlando so quickly.
Yeah.
But you mentioned, you know, have him weaseled away from Braun at SummerSlam.
Because, like, AJ is Raw, right?
Yeah.
Otis is SmackDown. And you wouldn't want to see Otis and Braun because they're two faces. Corbin is SmackDown. I could see Corbin and Braun going at it. Aleister Black is Raw, and we've already been told that they think that next year's WrestleMania main event might be Drew versus Aleister Black.
So.
Interesting. So they probably don't want to give that one away
yet. Yeah. You can hold that briefcase.
So Aleister Black would do some really interesting things with the briefcase. Some really interesting things with the briefcase. You know what I mean?
Oh, kind of like how past wrestlers, like the Damian Sandow Money in the Bank briefcase and how other wrestlers have decorated their briefcases with stuff. Yeah. Yeah, Black's would be pretty cool looking. And here's the thing. He has the contract for a year.
Yeah.
So you could easily make the story where somebody finally announces beforehand, I am cashing in Money in the Bank for WrestleMania.
It's happened two or three times, but not for WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It could be the first time for a Mania to have the Money in the Bank announced beforehand saying, I'm cashing in, I want Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania.
Rey Mysterio SmackDown, right? Or is he Raw? Is he Raw? He's Raw.
He's Raw.
And last thing we saw with him, he was in programs with
Zelina Vega's faction.
Zelina's crew and the US title, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that comes back around eventually. And Daniel Bryan is on SmackDown, but he's going into Sami Zayn territory. So
yeah, he's going to go back.
The other thing that is really important is 90% of the time, a Money in the Bank briefcase works better on a heel because they can tease cashing it in. So yeah, the logical thing says Corbin or AJ Styles.
Yeah. I think Corbin is definitely the best pick.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely the best pick.
Now he's won Money in the Bank before, right?
Yeah. And when he cashed in,
he failed.
Yes. Because of the interference from John Cena and stuff like that.
Right. I think that would be a really good storyline.
Yeah. It's like, hey, this is my second chance with Money in the Bank.
And Braun could be like, you failed last time. I'm not taking you seriously, mate. And then loses.
Yeah. I think that would be, you know, story-wise, that's perfect.
Yeah.
It really is. And then, of course, you have the women's Money in the Bank match, Asuka versus Shayna Baszler versus Nia Jax versus Dana Brooke versus Lacey Evans versus Carmella.
Yep.
I really want Dana Brooke. I really do. But something tells me. Like, because Dana has worked so hard to earn that moment. But I think realistically, it's going to be Shayna.
I've said for a very long time that if she's on a pay-per-view, I will put my money on Shayna B.
Yeah.
Especially if it's an NXT pay-per-view. This isn't, but whatever. with the Chronicle coming out tonight.
Yeah. It makes sense for Shayna to win because of that. But at the same time, I mean, and nothing against Asuka, who, you know, love Asuka. Nothing against Lacey Evans, who has been trying to, you know, get better. Yeah, up her game and stuff like that. And nothing against Carmella, who is the only one in this match who has actually won this match, technically twice.
True.
Well,
one of them was won by James Ellsworth.
Yes. But yeah, let's be fair. But so she's won it before, so she doesn't need the win. Mm. And then there's Nia.
Also, her and Dana are kind of focusing on tag right now.
Yeah.
Lacey. I don't see someone from SmackDown winning this. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because the future of the Women's SmackDown title is Bayley and Sasha. Right?
Yeah.
And
not only that, but the other thing is that they've already announced that Becky Lynch will be on Raw to confront the winner of the Money in the Bank match or to speak about them, which automatically leads the indication that it's going to be either Asuka, Shayna, or Nia.
That might be the indication that someone's going to win the Money in the Bank on SmackDown and jump the Raw.
Yeah.
You could do that as well.
Yeah, which is always a possible thing to do. But, you know, as we discussed, Shayna Baszler, Chronicle tonight. It's kind of like a foregone. I don't want to say a foregone conclusion, but the writing is kind of there on the wall.
But here's the other thing: the only woman of these six that Becky hasn't beaten in her recent title runs is Nia.
Yeah, and that's because Nia has been out injured for the majority of the time.
Right. Also, Nia's unsafe worker that doesn't deserve to be in a ring, but that's another story. She should be so far from the title that she's actually in a different sport. She's a charismaless, and here's the really weird thing. If you've ever seen Nia doing stuff on like Instagram or Twitter, she's really funny. And she's really charismatic, but it doesn't translate to the ring.
Do you think it's because of just how her character is?
No, because like even when she was with Alexa and they were doing stuff, she was still this charismaless hole.
You know, I wonder like why
are just some people that can't play to an audience. You know, like
yeah. Like, it's one thing to do it on social media. It's another thing to do it.
Yeah, because you're not – you can't – anyway.
Yeah. So that is Money in the Bank that we know of.
If you had to add one match to Money in the Bank, what would you add?
Oh, I would probably add the Street Profits versus Viking Raiders for the Raw Tag Team titles.
Okay.
Because that's something that they've been building to.
Yeah.
And it would make sense to put that on the card.
Yeah.
And it's another title match to have. Because that's the only other thing that I really can think that's been built up that can theoretically be put on.
I got a bit of fantasy book in here.
All right.
Right. Right before the men's ladder match. It cuts to, I don't know.
You mean both ladder matches?
No, no, no. Right before the men's ladder match, right?
They're both happening at the same time.
Yeah, but there's going to be segments where they're like, these are the men. Like, they have to do ring announcing, right? Where they're like, these are the men's entrance. These are the women's entrance, right? So right before the men's Money in the Bank ladder match entrance are announced, right? Cuts backstage to pick random interchangeable backstage announcer. Right, because that's what they are now. They don't have personalities anymore. They're just fucking robots. Yeah. Ever since Renee started doing the FS1 gig, and since Kathy left, cut to I don't know, Reporty McReporterson face, who says, "We can't find Daniel Bryan, or we can't find Rey Mysterio, right?" Rey Mysterio would be the better one, right? Yeah. And then they, like, Rey shows up injured, right? And they're like, well, Money in the Bank is only going to be five people, right? Cue, they introduce all the women, they introduce the five men, and they're like, and the final entrance is Drake Maverick. Drake Maverick wins Money in the Bank, beats Drew McIntyre, and saves his job by being WWE champion.
Now, he did it wrestling.
I'm laughing, but that would make me the happiest man on the planet.
Yeah, he didn't wrestle this past Wednesday, did he?
No, he didn't.
Okay, because I know he's won.
It was the other half of the bracket.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because he, I know he's 1-1, and that if he wins,
his final match is against Kushida.
Yeah, and if he wins that, he moves on to
yeah,
to the title match. Yeah,
well, he moves on to the semifinal.
Mm-mm, it's an automatic final.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So the way it is that they're basing it off of standings. Okay. So the two people who are ranked number one in their brackets,
okay,
automatically go into the
final. I thought it was one versus two.
No,
and then okay.
Yeah, so they're doing it literally. Whoever's ranked number one in both both brackets go automatically to the title match.
Okay.
So, yeah, because it was funny because I was reading an article about all the breakdowns of how the tiebreakers and stuff work, because you got a lot of people who are 1-1. Like, Tony Nese is 0-2, so he's out of it. And it's, like, just so crazy reading how that works.
Former champ.
Yeah. So.
All right, well, that wasn't a match I could add. If I had to add a match, it would be Sami Zayn versus El Generico. No, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
Just a random interpromotional match.
Just because I want to watch the good wrestling.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of the good wrestling on this show.
Well, you could.
Braun Strowman,
Tamina. Well, unfortunately, with Kevin Owens, you don't got that. Because he's actually dealing with a minor ankle injury from...
I know, but that's why I want to add Kevin Owens, because it means he wouldn't be injured anymore.
Yeah, so... But he should be back real soon, though, because he openly admitted that's minor.
He just had his birthday as well.
Yeah. So. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Right. Let's wrap up this segment, and let's get ready to do segment three with Matt. We'll introduce him when he gets here.
So with that, we're going to take a little break.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, boy. So stay tuned, because we'll be joined with Matt as we go over the top 25 favorite tag teams.
Go rewrite your list, Mike.
Yep.